When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
AM 570 LA Sports.
I want to hear it, man. I'm desperate to hear it.
This is the Petros and Money Show.
Best case scenario.
Mad Money Smith.
Worst case scenario.
Petros Papadakis.
What am I doing here? I'm humiliated.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
Now online at am570lasports.com.
This is Petros and Money.
Not with me.
What has happened to you?
You're a small price. What do you want?
I was a fiend.
Petros and Money, AM 570, LA Sports, Dan Wojcicki in for Pete today and tomorrow. Big thank you to Dave Damaschek, filled in yesterday. Petros will be back on Monday from his annual trek to Sundance. If you missed Don McLean, he joined us in the first hour. And considering today is NBA trade deadline day, Dan, you did a big to-do in the 4 o'clock hour. But Don helped us break it all down, what it means for the positions of power in the West and the East, as there are a lot of talented teams making a run at that O'Brien Trophy come June. If you missed it, we are going to replay it in the very next segment. Also, David Vasse joined us just at the back end of that 5 o'clock hour, keeping tabs on just what is kind of a wacky bit of a story surrounding the conclusion and kind of wrapping up the trade of Mookie Betts to the Dodgers that we're still awaiting some closure on. What was that?
Yep.
And that brings us. And by the way, quick reminder, because we already did it last hour, starting tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., it's Grant in your hand. We do it a quarter after every hour from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. You hear a keyword, you text it to 200-200. Keep your phone on, because if you win, you get a call from either a block number or a 513 area code. Answer your phone. If you don't, you can't win. And we already had Paul in Baldwin Park win $1,000 while listening to our show, texting that keyword and answering his phone after sending it to voicemail once. Not all of you will get that same break. Ended up calling him back. And again, 7 days away from pitchers and catchers, reporting to Camelback. That's what we were just talking to David Vasse about. The only place you can hear every Dodger game is right here. And UCLA basketball is tonight against Arizona State. Tip-off at 8 p.m.
It's fun in effect. It's the hour three.
Fun facts. Slurpee guy, Dan.
Yeah, absolutely. Cherry. Mm-hmm.
Adam?
Slush puppy. Grape.
Ugh, too much ice.
More syrup.
Was it a purple?
Yeah.
Purple slush puppy?
Yeah.
Did you think it was a white grape?
You know what? I think I just realized as I asked him that about slush puppy, I was thinking Mr. Misty from Dairy Queen, which I believe their grape was green, as crazy as that sounds. I believe it was, it was lime. They had like three different shades of green, apple, lime, maybe grape was purple. What was the blue raspberry famous one? It wasn't slush puppy.
There's a Slurpee blue raspberry that's
popular. Well, yeah, I'm thinking about the one that was in like the crappy department stores though, that had the polar bear on the side. Icy. The icy blue raspberry is what I am, I think. All right, whatever. Manitoba. Did you know that Winnipeg, Manitoba has been crowned, and I think this is now a self-fulfilling prophecy, now sure. They purposely go out to win the title, but just last year in 2019 was their 20th consecutive year as the Slurpee capital of the world. 7-Eleven stores report their Slurpee sales every year, understandably, and then they do it on a per capita basis. And when you go percentage or at least size of population versus Slurpee sold, no one touches Winnipeg. 179,700 per month is the average in Canada. And in Winnipeg, they do 188,833. Which is the largest, highest percentage of Slurpees to population of any city on earth. That is your fun fact. Stop trying to vet it.
No, I'm not. I went to a bar earlier this year. I know this is going to be hard to believe that I was at a bar.
Yeah.
In Atlanta, where we ended up at a bar that proudly displayed their PBR sales.
Okay.
Every year that they would send, like, there were plaques on the wall.
Hipster,
like,
bar now?
Nah, no, it was pretty divey.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like
how far back did the PBR sales go?
Like 1993 or something like that. Like, oh, they're good. Like a long time.
That's
like,
not like hipster PBR.
Yeah, no.
That's pre-hipster PBR.
Yeah, and they were, I think, like constantly between like 6 and like 11. I was trying to pull up the list really quickly. I'd be curious to know.
Well, you know who was number one forever? It was Joe Jost's in Long Beach until PBR screwed them and they stopped serving it because they discovered that once PBR got to be a super cool hipster bar,
yeah,
as they were trying to flood the market and get more PBR out there, they were cutting prices on the kegs going to other spots. And Jost was like, hey, what the hell? We've been doing this for 50 years and
serving it up screwed with deviled eggs and pretzels.
Exactly.
I love that bar.
So now they serve Bush in their schooners.
That is a great bar.
It's one of the best bars in the greater LA area. If you've never been, it used to be Frank Sinatra's, one of Frank Sinatra's favorite bars. Whenever he came to LA, he would make his way down to Joe's.
They, if you go to Long
secret
Beach,
room back
at
in the
me,
day.
At me on Twitter. Give me an excuse to go.
Please, because that's what I'd want to do.
You can go. You can buy me a shirt. They have great shirts.
How about you buy them a shirt?
I can
and
buy them
a schooner.
Deal.
And a special sandwich, ugh, and a pickled egg, and the pretzel pepper mix. Do it all. And load up the jukebox while you're at it. It's a fine spot.
There's a jukebox? I've never seen the jukebox. Is it in the back?
Yeah, where the pool tables are. All right,
that?
Let's go. Quick hits.
The PMS Quick Hits. I'll make it quick, y'all. Oh, yeah!
Who did the quick hits today? Was it Tim or was it Adam who did them?
Can't you already tell just by the fine lettering and not it being a complete mess?
Number one headline. Clippers made a big deal. Clippers, Knicks, Wizards. Three-team trade. We discussed it repeatedly, and you'll hear Don McLean talk about it in the very next segment. Marcus Morris, Isaiah Thomas go to the Clippers. Jerome Robinson to the Wizards. Mo Harkless and a 2020 first-round pick to the Knicks. Dan,
on
we
our
discussed
sheet,
it earlier.
On our sheet here, Matt, not only that, the font sizes are different in the same.
Oh, they are. It's completely plagiarized. It's copy. It's pasted. A lot of times, things
that
will be
wrong.
That was Tim. Oh, no, I know.
Normally, that's my move.
It's a Clippers made a big deal. It's probably in a 12-pot. 12,
right,
12
and
point.
Then the it's next 14? Part is plagiarized. It's just copied and pasted. You discussed this a little bit earlier. They're likely going to waive Isaiah Thomas, and they're still going to be viable in the buyout market because they got a roster spot.
Still in the Darren Collison mix, very much so. There are minutes to be had as a backup point guard. I think, you know, the Isaiah Thomas thing, while on the surface, you know, he's shot the ball very well this year, but just defensively, just not a fit at all with Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell in the second unit. So you move on, and I think to me the most impressive thing from a Clippers standpoint, and we talked about this, was the ability to get Marcus Morris without trading Landry Shamet, without trading Fiondu Cabangeli, without trading Terrence Mann.
Yeah, their most recent draft picks, and obviously Shamet, who just coming off a 6-7, 23-point performance, you know.
He shot it last night. That was a don't send me to New York game.
Exactly,
sure.
Right, and you never had the sense. That was reality. And by the way, for those of you that aren't really familiar with Marcus Morris and maybe just recognize him as
bad
a bit of a curmudgeon and a meanie out there.
Bad dude.
He's a really good basketball player and certainly improved. So starting five is what? Pat Bev, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Marcus Morris, Zubes.
Yeah.
That's what we're looking at.
And late in games, they have a variation of death lineups now.
That's good.
That is.
That's a good five.
Even if he decides to leave and go back to New York after this year, whatever. Go
good
win
five.
The title. Lakers did not make any moves today, and that may be for the better, considering in order to get Marcus Morris, kind of the iterations that were being discussed involved Danny Green and Kuzma, and that's probably not something you want to do.
If Kuzma made $13 million,
then they would have done it.
They maybe could have gotten that deal done.
Yeah, they would have done a
straight
Kuzma's
up swap. On too good of a contract, and they don't really have any in-between bad money.
That's why I'm not a fan. I am just not a fan of the salary matching. I would cut the salary matching down to 50%. Just because nowadays the luxury tax is so punitive and so many teams are trying to avoid it that no one is trying to load up their team by taking on it's
See,
so
I think
much
it would
different
lead to
than it used
I think
to
it
be.
Would lead to more player trade requests, which I'm kind of against generally.
Yeah, but that's a good point. It's already why you're where we are.
Yep.
Right? Andre Iguodala and all that, by the way, he got traded to the Miami Heat. The Lakers did not make any moves today. We just discussed that. Last time the Lakers didn't make a deadline deal was all the way back in 15-16 when Mitch and Jim were still in charge. The Lakers are playing tonight. They host the Houston Rockets, who are the ultimate small ball team after having dealt both their centers, Nene and Clint Capela, and not replacing them with a big body.
I'm trying to remember what they did last year at the deadline. Why can't I remember that?
Last year.
Reggie Bullock.
There you go.
All right. We're there.
And Zoobs.
Oh, yeah.
Turns out, Muscala and Zoobs.
That one.
So there was that.
They'd like to forget that one, too.
The old friend alert, D'Angelo Russell, goes to the Timberwolves for Andrew Wiggins.
I like this trade. This is a fun one.
Yeah. And I guess it, you know, you say, hey, Kat, sorry you're all sad.
Don't be mad anymore.
Here's your best friend. I hope the two of you enjoy one another. And it's pretty much swap, I guess, what they say, about 50 grand between the two contracts. So you're dealing one contract for the other. The money's even. But Andrew Wiggins had been a bit of an enigma.
Positionally makes more sense on the Warriors than D'Angelo Russell. And, you know, opportunity and circumstance matters a ton in this league.
Sure.
And
Being around a bunch of winners.
I'll be very curious to see what he looks like on the Golden State Warriors.
Great point.
He might stink. But
somehow,
we'll know.
Some way, this is the one I just can't wrap my head around.
I love this deal, too.
The Cavs get Andre Drummond.
I like it.
The Pistons get two players that have no business being on a roster anymore, Brandon Knight and John Henson.
Nice guys.
And a second round pick. It is odd. The Cavs are going nowhere. They've already got a $30 million salary of Kevin Love's. Now they take out a $26 million
salary. And a $20 million Tristan Thompson.
Exactly. All big guys in a league that's trending small.
And I'm writing about this Sunday in the LA Times about kind of the evolution of that position.
Plug.
But the Tristan Thompson, Andre Drummond kind of thing, I like the idea of sort of auditioning because they've got their futures in their backcourt, right? They have Darius Garland, Colin Sexton. Both are playing pretty well, actually, for a bad team. Auditioning those two guys next to, because look, who's signing in Cleveland unless you're paying them? Right.
You got to trade, exactly.
So
you're absolutely right.
You run a little bit of an audition here with Andre Drummond, and maybe he's the right guy, and you sign him for $20 million. You sign him for that Tristan Thompson money next year,
they
wouldn't have, you know, they'll feel better about it having seen it for 2 months. I like it.
Never mind the players in this case, mind the money. The Heat acquired Andre Iguodala, Jay Crowder, Solomon Hill from the Grizz in exchange for Justice Winslow, Deion Waiters, James Johnson. It puts them under the repeater tax. It puts them under the hard cap. And most importantly, they will have $25 million in cap space this summer, which isn't a great free agent class. But
next
summer, they will have $40 million
available. And the Giannis sweepstakes, maybe Kawhi, maybe Paul George.
Exactly. And they're currently constructed to be a team that could give the Bucks a lot of problems.
Still kind of a disappointing deadline, weirdly, for them because of the way things kind of happened last night, Matt, with Danilo Gallinari. And kind of how
the fact that he sat out, and it's like, that team's going to be scary.
There was a window, just a couple hour window where it seemed like, especially the way that the Heat sat all their players against the Clippers last night, that it was like, they're going to get Gallinari too. And they got, you know, probably to the 5 yard line on that and weren't able to really push it across. So a little bit of a disappointing, but you know, you rebound, you get Jay Crowder, who's a useful player. And I am not 100% sure what Andre Iguodala is going to look like, but he may have had the best 5 month run in NBA player history. Didn't play.
Didn't have to show up.
Made $11 million.
Right.
Prorated essentially.
Took a little bit of heat on social media for about 2 days.
Yeah, but those are
maybe three.
And those are like 22-year-olds tweeting angry stuff
at
you.
Facetious.
Like welcome to everybody's world. And then you know, somehow gets another $30 million possibly out of the Miami Heat without stepping on a court since last June. He might be totally washed.
And I would guess that is and look, this is all stuff that we were kicking around earlier. But again, I'm guessing that's you ain't going back to Golden State after this. You're staying here, and you're going to help us recruit Giannis, and you're going to help us send that contingency of you and
Jimmy
Butler and Dwayne Wade. We're all flying up there, or we're flying over to Greece, and we're going to bring him back to Miami.
Got some extra rings to show him and stuff like that. You can put him on the table.
That second year is a
team option, right. So it doesn't get in the way. And that's really, they weren't able to get Gallinari to take a similar deal, and that's why that trade didn't happen.
Some sad news, but we were waiting, and now we know the public memorial for Kobe Bryant going to happen on Monday, February 24th at Staples Center.
224.
No other details, makes sense. 224. No details, but that's what we know thus far. The Dodgers agreed to a 3-year. This is a great, great story. Max Muncy, who was darn near out of baseball and was thinking about going back to school, had a bad run with the A's. The Dodgers trade for him, and now he's got a 3-year, $26 million deal. Has hit 35 home runs in back-to-back seasons, is a pivotal part of that lineup, and likely will bat second this upcoming season, right behind Mookie Betts. Speaking of which, still on hold, as questions about the physical for that Twins pitching prospect have held it up. And all parties trying to figure out how to add a sweetener or plug in a different player or how this is going to work. We discussed it about an hour ago. Some talking heads in Boston saying, hey, man.
Walk it back.
You got a free pass. You got a free freaking pass. Yeah, Don.
Control Z.
Cancel it, huh? The Dodgers-Angels trade involving Jock and Stripling also on hold until an arbitrator decides what the money situation is for Jock. A lot of people thought it would be in the $8 million range. If that thing's north of 10, maybe that changes that a little bit. Have that case heard today. UCLA and Tempe taking on Arizona State. Tip off at 8. The Bruins have won 4 of their last 5, all in conference play. And Eric Weddle, friend of the show, announced his retirement today. 13 seasons, 9 with the Chargers. 3 with the Ravens, 1 with the Rams, a 6-time Pro Bowler, 5-time All-Pro, 30 career interceptions, an all-around good guy.
Unsolicited Eric Weddle story.
Please.
Go seek out on The Athletic. We had Jovan on earlier. Seek out on The Athletic. A great story about the Chargers 2014, I think, their rec league softball team.
Yes.
That Eric
great Weddle, read.
That Eric, it was an oral history with Eric Weddle being just a dynamite softball player, sliding head first and stuff like that.
It is fantastic.
Just, yeah, it is a really fun story. Made me long for the, I've taken a year off, Matt, of the slow pitch softball.
How about you take it off? How about just take
just
it
retire?
Off? Yes, it's over. You've got a child now. It's over.
He doesn't need me.
It's
the
over.
Team needs me.
Stop trying to relive past glories.
It wasn't even that. And it wasn't even that glorious. It wasn't even that. It wasn't even that glory.
White guys. LA Kings.
And Kevin Ding.
And Kevin Ding. And One Nation. Kings are 19-30-5 on the season. They are playing in Long Beach right now. New York Islanders. Remember, you can listen to every Kings game on the Kings channel on the iHeartRadio app. Kings Hockey is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times. If you missed it, Don McLean on the trade deadline, Lakers buyout market potential, and the state of the NBA. Did it in the 3 o'clock hour. We'll do it again next. We do. Fresh love. And Money AM 570 LA Sports. Clippers have a 4-game road trip before the All-Star break. It'll start in Minnesota on Saturday with a 5 p.m. tip-off here on AM 570 LA Sports. Let's bring him on. And he is the all-time leading scorer in Pac-10/Pac-12 history. Bruins taking on Arizona State tonight. They won 4 of their last 5. We were just discussing Karl Anthony Towns, of course, someone who helps a lot of these young men prepare to take that next step, to work their way into the draft and be ready for a long and celebratory NBA career. Did it with Karl Anthony Towns, as a matter of fact. Best friend of the show and his son Kyle, just setting records out there at Westlake in the prep sports and amateur ranks. We always appreciate it when he joins us on the Chevy Silverado Celebrity Hotline with P Out. It is Don McLean on the Petros and Money Show with Dan Wojcicki.
Hello, Don.
What's up, Don?
Well, what's up, fellas? Since Petros isn't here, do we have to go through the whole Boy Tower and Golden Gate and all that, or should we just skip it for next week?
How about I'll just say, hey, you know where Alcatraz is?
It's over there.
There we go. So the answer is, yeah, we do have to go through it, Don, as a matter of fact.
Rules are rules.
Let's start with the big news here in town. Trade deadline today. Marcus Morris becomes a Clipper. What in your opinion, does that do for this team?
Well, it's an upgrade at that, I don't even want to call it the small forward position, but one of those wing positions from Mo Harkless. Listen, Mo Harkless is a terrific defender. He's a multi-positional guy, and he started most of the year. But if you notice, he didn't finish a lot of games because not a great outside shooter. Marcus Morris shooting 44% this year from behind the three-point line. Probably every bit as good a defender as Harkless. So you've upgraded that starting position, and I think that's what they want to do. And, Dan, I don't know if you were there last night, but it's interesting. I was thinking about it today, and Doc, not that he hasn't used the word before, but I noticed that he used the word toughness a couple times last night.
Yep.
And I wonder if that was on his brain because he knew that this trade was in the works, that they were trying to get him. And I think for more, maybe more so than anything, the toughness that Morris brings, and as you look ahead to the playoffs, what that toughness will do for this Clipper team come playoff time.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's a little bit of snarl that the roster, you know, I mean, Paul George is an amazing player, super nice guy. Kawhi Leonard's an amazing player.
Yeah, Pat Beverly's pretty quiet guy, right?
So you've got Pat Beverly, but Pat Beverly's also prone to injury, prone to foul trouble.
Trez, is that snarl?
A little sometimes.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's grousing too. Right. But I think, you know, it's just another kind of, you know, Marcus Morris using a tweet. He's like, LA, you're getting a dog. And like, it's like, that's yeah. who
Different
he
level.
Is. Yeah, he is a not afraid of anything type of player who just also happens to be super skilled. And I think it's a really big upgrade. I do think he'll close a lot of games for them because of what he can do defensively and because he's a legitimate. I mean, you know, Don, he's shooting 6 threes a game and making 44% on a team where no one else is really getting guarded either, right? It's not like he's the number – he's the guy you stop when you play the Knicks right now, him and Julius Randle.
Yeah.
And I think this was a picture-perfect trade for the Clippers, just kind of the right ingredient at the right time.
And not that we didn't know it was coming, Dan, but it's becoming increasingly clear now that PG and Kawhi are playing together again that and we see this every year in the playoffs where the other team will pick a player that they don't think can make a three.
Yep.
Just won't guard him. And Harkless was going to be that guy. I think Pat Bev's stepping up this year. He's making more threes than he ever has. And I think they were looking ahead to the playoffs going, man, if we don't fill that position with a guy that can make threes, we're going to have a problem. And so, yeah, a perfect fit. Perfectly, you know, obviously his role is going to change. He's not going to have the ball in his hands as much. But if he can make a three, defend, and be tough, he's certainly going to help the Clippers.
Yeah, he did it in Boston too, right? So that's the other thing I like about this is that he's not too far removed from being in almost
around
the exact same
scores.
Role and being in the exact same role.
The other position that was kind of being kicked around, Don, was point guard and a ball handling point guard. They didn't get that. They're going to waive Isaiah Thomas. And any concern there? I mean, there is just so much talent. I guess I'm just trying to poke holes in this and trying to figure out if there is a soft spot on this team still.
No, I mean, if you're really splitting hairs, you could say that. But I haven't once been watching the Clippers saying, man, if they don't get a ball handler, there's no way they're getting to the finals. But you could say watching them play, you know, it would be nice if they had another, you know, point guard slash ball handler that could initiate the offense. But you know what? Doc's doing it a different way anyway. You know, Trez is bringing the ball up sometimes. Kawhi brings it up. PG brings it up. So in terms of just a pure point guard, who knows if you even need that based on the way they're playing. But I want to say real quick, since you mentioned the draft stuff, I'm happy for Jerome that he's going to get an opportunity to play in Washington. He's a lot better than what he showed in L.A., was never really given a huge opportunity. So I hope he goes to Washington and has a really long and good career.
Don, the Lakers don't make a move. And I think that might be a win, right? Considering what the asking price was, the fact that they didn't have a lot of big salaries to move, and it was going to probably have to be Danny Green, because inexplicably KCP has some sort of like no trade sort of, he has to approve a deal or something like that. It seems like it's better, considering what was out there, for them to have not moved a Danny Green plus a Kyle Kuzma for someone like Marcus Morris.
Well, I think so. And one thing we've been talking a lot about on the Clippers shows is just, you know, this continuity thing. And like, the Clippers have had so many injuries, and the core hasn't played together as much as you would like. At this point, they're starting to now with everyone being healthy. But with the Lakers, you trade away a big piece like Kuzma. Now you're starting that all over again. You got to incorporate somebody into the offense. They got to learn the scheme on both sides of the ball. I mean, it's a whole thing. And so now, without doing anything, you just continue to progress with your main pieces. And hopefully by the time you get to the playoffs, you know, everybody's played with each other long enough that continuity is there and you're ready to go. But the trade deadline's a tricky thing, because you always look at stuff and you always want to improve your team, but at the cost of what? And I think the Lakers probably did the right thing by not doing anything.
The thing I wonder with LeBron, Don, and it's the LeBron Don, that feels like that could be a nickname for somebody. the thing that I wonder with him as he's played this point guard position is, I remember, you know, and I'm sure you've heard Chris Paul say this too, like, would just complain incessantly about bringing the ball up against pressure, about just sort of the overall sort of the grind of it over the course of the year. And that's why he loved playing with Darren Collison. And that's why, you know, he loved playing with, in some ways, even with James Harden a little bit early in that. And that's why he loved playing with, to an element, Austin Rivers, just having another guy on the court who can just do that, or Blake Griffin or whatever. The Lakers don't really do that. It really does almost all run through LeBron. Do you think there could be like a cumulative wear and tear on him? I mean, his minutes are kind of what they are, but usage rate is as high as ever. And it's coming more, though, I think, as sort of their point guard.
Yeah, Matt, we've talked about it a lot this year with Petros about, you know, why is LeBron playing so many minutes? Why is he playing every game? Why isn't he taking some nights off? And I think we're all looking around going, well, why isn't he? And I guess we'll find out, Dan, at the end of the year. We'll find out if there was an effect of all this and him bringing the ball up and him playing major minutes and him never taking a night off. But, you know, the guy's proven to stay pretty durable throughout this. But we're talking about 17 years now. And so I guess my answer is I don't really have an answer, but check back with me in April when the playoffs start and see what he looks like.
You'll be right then. For sure.
There you go.
Right.
Don, how afraid should, and I bring it up because we all know there are no more long-term deals. These guys aren't on sevens and eights, but they're really on five-year deals that are two-year deals. How afraid should fans be of Pat Riley now that this deal with Iguodala, he's got cap space, he's got $40 million in cap space in 2 years when Paul and Kawhi can exit their deals, and you know, I mean, you know him. You know what it's like to be in a room when he's making a pitch. That I would assume is something that's disconcerting for the rest of the league now.
I hadn't put much thought to it, Matt, but now that you bring it up, everyone should be very afraid. Pat Riley, I've been around the league a long time as a player. I played for the Heat for 2 years, and I've been around and met almost everybody that's in the league now. And he's the most persuasive guy there is, and second place is a long way down. And so if he's got the ammo, meaning the cap space and whatever else, the rest of the league should be pretty afraid. But I will say, I feel like, and Dan, you can speak to this better than me, it does feel like the Heat are taking a page out of the Clipper handbook here in terms of setting up for going after the big game hunting stuff, that they're trying to keep a nice core together but also set up their cap space to fit in a Giannis or somebody like that. It seems like the Clippers, to me, executed that with the perfection no one's ever seen before. And I think the Heat looked at it and said, you know what, that's probably how we need to do it. Let's try and go about our business doing it that way.
Yeah, I think there was sort of
And by the way, it's a singular obsession. Just like the Clippers was singular with Kawhi, it is a singular obsession with Giannis.
Yep.
Yeah, and obviously the competition for him, it's not just
everybody.
It's not just, you know, Miami.
Everybody.
It's Toronto. It's Milwaukee's going to make their pitch this summer with you know, as much money
Supermax
as they can offer. But yeah, I think you're right, Don. I do think that it's been sort of an incremental thing. And sort of like the Clippers, they're ahead of schedule, you know, in Miami in terms of what, like, it's funny. I was in that Heat locker room last night, and you know, there was obviously a lot of excitement about Andre Iguodala at the time. Still some excitement about maybe Danilo Gallinari, which obviously didn't happen. But, you know, it's funny, you're talking to Goran Dragic about it, and it's like, this was going to be a reset year for them, right? I mean, when the Clippers traded for Mo Harkless, and they got that Miami unprotected pick, it was sort of like, oh my gosh, like that could be a top five choice. You know, that the Heat, like, they're capped out. They've got nothing kind of on the horizon. And somehow, despite having horrible money on their books, despite having limited draft assets, they land Jimmy Butler this summer. And here they are now with really exciting young players. One of my favorite young centers in the league in Bam Adebayo. And
Tyler,
you know,
Hero.
Hero. Kendrick Nunn. It just rolls and rolls and rolls.
Right. And by the way, a great culture, just like the
Best
Clippers
culture.
Had last
awesome
year.
Culture.
And last year, the Clippers were way ahead of schedule. Nobody thought they'd be winning as much. And they go ahead and trade Tobias Harris at the deadline. And everybody's like, oh, it's over.
Yep.
There goes the season. And they stayed together because of their culture, and they make the playoffs. And didn't that look pretty good to Kawhi Leonard, that you got this team with this great culture with a bunch of guys that play hard and play together? And I think, you know, you look at Miami now, it's exactly the same as what the Clippers did last year.
We always appreciate it. Great stuff. Don McLean on a trade deadline Thursday, taking time out for us. What do you have going tonight, Don?
Studio, Pac-12 Network.
There we go.
Got a slew of games tonight.
Slew of games, including UCLA, Arizona State, and Tempe. A 9 o'clock tip, Don.
See you guys.
All right, when we come back, we'll get you your dead and alive guy birthday of the day going towards 7 o'clock. David Bassett going to be along with off-season Dodger talk. Get you the latest on the Mookie Betts unofficial, hopefully soon to be official trade. And then we'll get Bruins basketball starting at 8 p.m. a tip against Arizona State. So I'm no better than... Petros and Money, AM 570 LA Sports. Big thank you to Dan Wojcicki coming in today. Dan, you'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Star of the show, Dan Wojcicki on NBA trade deadline day. And if you missed it, Clips make a big move. Marcus Morris, they now have, what, four starters that average north of 15 points per game. Is that correct, Adam?
It's actually five now that average 19 or more.
Five players that average 19 or more. Roll call. We're going to do a round robin here, see who gets stuck. I have a feeling I'm going to be the guy that loses.
Well, you did ask the question.
I get to go first, though.
You can go first, second, third, and fourth if you want.
Is that right?
Sure.
Okay, let's see. Kawhi Leonard.
That's one.
Paul George.
That's two.
Lou Williams.
That's three.
Obviously, Marcus Morris, that's because four. They just traded for him. And five.
Oof. You're sixth man of the year candidate.
Oh, Montrezl Harrell.
Yep.
That's right. That's easy.
Yeah, that's not bad.
See, and here I thought I was in a whole mess of trouble, but alas... I come through unscathed.
43% shooting for Marcus Morris this year at like a super high volume on a where he was like the only guy worth guarding on the Knicks.
You discussed too. It earlier, and it gave Adam Osland a big boner. So congratulations to all of you on a successful
sounds like
Crunchy
mostly,
Groove Thursday.
Sounds like mostly congratulations to Adam.
All right, Dan. You got the dead guy birthday today.
Yeah, it was a it's a good day today. It was a loaded roster.
Okay.
Bob Marley died today. Right. His birthday today. Babe Ruth's birthday today. Ronald Reagan's birthday today.
I saw Ronnie tweet that out, hashtag 13 of sweat.
But today we're going to honor our first ballot inductee.
First ballot inductee into what?
The dead guy pantheon.
You don't think this has ever happened before?
He was unable, well, he died last year.
Correct then, sir. Congratulations on dying. Dead guy birthday
happy
today.
Birthday, Elmore Rual Torn Jr., better known as Rip Torn.
Yeah, I killed him last year, so people said.
He was born in Temple, Texas in 1931 to a father nicknamed Tiger Torn. And Thelma Torn, whose maiden name was Spacek. She was an aunt to Sissy Spacek.
Okay.
Father was an agriculturist and economist who, interestingly enough, worked to popularize the tradition of eating black-eyed peas on New Year's Day as a sign of good luck.
How about that?
Hoppin' John's is maybe Southern people would know it.
Good little nugget.
And Rip, it turns out, is a family nickname that his father also had before Tiger passed it on to his son. Goes to New York and studies at the Actual Actors Studio. He later gets Sissy into classes there, too. She becomes a great actress as well. In New York City, he begins...
Nepotism.
Which is going to be a six-decade career.
That's all.
In TV and movie, and Broadway. Most famous role, though, Matt, comes in 1992.
Best television show in the history of television.
That's right. He's already on Larry Sanders' show.
Damn right.
He's nominated six times for Best Supporting
Shut
Actor.
Shut up, Hank.
And he wins once. The show is going great. this is one of my favorites.
God damn it, Hank, if you ever say another word to Larry, I'm going to kill you.
he's married three times, father of six kids. But now here's the fun stuff. There's two really fun stories
nice
about
story.
Rip Torn. Yes,
bring
we'll
it.
Get there.
Because this is an annual.
He's
Rip was an annual alive guy. So.
A known maniac on set. Huh. All right. In 1970, while working on the movie Maidstone, okay, he hits director and co-star Norman Mailer in the head with a hammer while the cameras are on. All right. The two are fighting, grappling. Norman Mailer bites Rip Torn's ear. There's blood everywhere. And it's all on camera, too, apparently. Someone has this footage somewhere. You don't know if Rip Torn did it on purpose to try to like get into character or not. Big mystery. And then later on in the early 90s, Dennis Hopper goes on The Tonight Show and accuses Rip Torn of pulling a knife on him in a pre-production meeting for Easy Rider. Rip Torn had been cast in the Jack Nicholson role, obviously. The knife fight changed that.
Clinched it.
What Rip Torn does, though, is
sues
and says, no, you pull the knife on me, crazy LSD'd up Dennis Hopper,
right.
And wins almost $1 million in lawsuits. He's also liked to drink.
A little
too,
bit.
Too. And in 2010, he's arrested. Matt, do you know this? Do you remember this
Probably.
Story?
Probably. Start he's, telling the story.
He's arrested after breaking into a Litchfield Bancorp bank branch in Connecticut. All right? He has a loaded gun on him. And his defense is he thought he was at his house. He thought he was breaking into his own home. Trouble was his house was 25 miles away.
Sure.
In Connecticut.
It
was
booze, man. It'll do crazy things to you.
You know, he did a little rehab, did a little community service, washed out clean.
Yeah.
Terrific actor, comedic legend, was also terrific on 30 Rock, in a role as Don Geist, the fake president of General Electric. He was in Dodgeball, the movie, and just has a ton of credits, almost 100 movie credits total. So RIP Rip.
A live guy. Again, tough, stacked. Rick Astley, Axl Rose. I love Robert Townsend. Hollywood Shuffle, wildly underrated if you've never seen it.
Mm-hmm.
But we go with no surprise I'm leaning this direction. Howard Brokaw, NBC News. I'm the only person to have ever hosted all three major NBC News programs today, NBC Nightly News, and Howard Brokaw, Meet the Press. Born in Webster, South Dakota. Pops, construction foreman for the Army Corps of Engineers, helped construct Fort Randall Dam, as a matter of fact. He went to Iowa, dropped out after a year because he said, I was majoring in beer head co-ed.
Minored,
and that led him to...
Minored in animal husbandry at Iowa.
No!
Okay.
University of South Dakota because he partied too hard. That's what he says. He started his TV career in Sioux City, Iowa. On to Omaha, Atlanta, working his way up before joining NBC News based in L.A. in 1968 while doing the 11 o'clock on Hey NBC, Channel 4, Howard Brokaw. In 1973, became the White House correspondent, covered Watergate, which was interesting
yep.
because Nixon offered him the gig of press secretary in 69. NBC had him host today in 76. He stuck around until 81. 82, he started NBC Nightly News. In that role, the first English language broadcast to cover the fall of the Berlin Wall. He had the first American TV one-on-one with Gorbachev and the first American TV one-on-one with Putin. He was sued by Richard Jewell for his coverage of the 96 Olympic Park bombing. Here is Brokaw's quote that led to an NBC $500,000 settlement.
The speculation is the FBI is close to making a case. They probably have enough to arrest him right now. Probably enough to prosecute him, but you always want to have enough to convict him as well. And there are still some holes in this case.
Even though NBC stood by its story, they still settled for
$500,000. So that's like $250,000 up, probably.
Probably.
Brokaw would retire as anchor of NBC Nightly News following the 04 presidential election, closed his final broadcast in front of 16 million viewers back when news anchors meant something, goddammit.
That's right.
He was considered the most popular news personality in America when he retired, stuck around in a part-time role because he was so popular as a special correspondent since 1962, has been married to his lovely wife, Meredith. Three daughters,
Jennifer, Hadria, and Hera.
He has got 30 honorary degrees. 30!
Notre Dame, Northwestern, Mayo Clinic, Johns Hopkins, Duke, Dartmouth, and Caltech.
University of Phoenix.
Seven Emmys, couple Peabody's, and he got the Presidential Medal of Freedom. By the way, for all the people that were kicking and screaming, and again, I think people who listen know I have no dog in any political fight because I hate everybody and I hate politics.
Fair.
And I hate politicians. But for people pissing and moaning about Rush Limbaugh getting a Presidential Medal of Freedom, they always get Presidential Medals of Freedom, people that cover news. Now, granted, Rush a little more opinionated than Howard Brokaw, but Tom Brokaw was considered a little opinionated and certainly made his opinions well known post-news career. And he got one from Obama in 2014. So not out of the ordinary for these guys to get on. All right.
So, good one.
There's Dan and I trying to step on each other's dead and alive guy and prove that we know just as much as the other
right.
who had it scripted out. Dan, thank you. We'll do it again tomorrow. Another full 4 hours tonight. Stick around for UCLA basketball, Arizona State tips at 8. And also a big thank you for the assist from Adam Oslin, who helped out in the absence of Tim Cates early on in the show, who was doing his fancy Spectrum Sportsnet broadcast for the Dodgers channel there.
TV star.
We'll be back again tomorrow on a Frogman Friday. We hope to hear from you then.
Coming back on tomorrow.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.